家好，我是浩远。这条是德国盲人网球手 Chris 接受 Winnie 访问的竹本录音，因为他是回答 Winnie 的三条问题，所以录音是分成三段的，希望可以提升大家对盲人网球的兴趣。
Now about blind tennis, I have to tell you that I've been a tennis fan ever since 1990 when we were able to watch West German TV. I think I mentioned that before. Ever since then, I followed tennis. I was an avid tennis follower. When I was unemployed, when the tennis was played in Australia, I really adapted to the Australian times because I had nothing else to do. So I watched pretty much most of the matches. And it was great. Well, in the late 90s, when I was studying at the School for Applied Sciences, I had a friend who was a tech freak, and she wanted to build a tennis ball for me, which emitted a permanent sound. But the trouble was that back then, the small batteries weren't very long-lasting. And very strong, and the frequency that I chose, that I thought I could hear best, was a battery killer. So we had no chance to create that ball. Nevertheless, my passion for tennis remained, and what I did is internet grew and became faster and more available and accessible. So every now and then, from 2007 on, I think I performed a search on the web just by entering blind tennis or tennis for the blind or whatever, and I tried to set up tennis here in Germany, but it very soon became clear that I didn't have the tennis infrastructure. I could manage to get our National Association for the Blind and Vision Impaired, of course, as a cooperative partner, but I didn't have the network on the tennis side of things. And the trouble is, when I was working, they were off. They could have talked and done things and stuff. I was very much on the tennis side and had experience in organizing things like that. So he organized a workshop in Cologne. And I had the contact in the meantime to coaches in Britain, in the UK, because I had found out that tennis was spread ever since the 1990s, I think, in Japan, where the founding father of tennis came from, Miyoshi Takai, and who had worked for a long time on a way to play tennis, and he had eventually developed a tennis ball as we know it, the blind tennis ball, so a foam ball with a rattling element in it, which generates a sound that is also very attractive to children. And the foam ball makes sure that you are not injured when you are accidentally shot or hit by a ball, basically. So the British had taken it on very seriously, and they have a powerful tennis association supporting them. So we invited two coaches from London over to Cologne to host or to support us in our first tennis attempt there. And I clearly remember it was actually a very beautiful weekend, beautiful and gorgeous weather. And I remember stepping on court and thinking, oh, tennis court, wow, now I can look at what it looks like and where the lines are and what the net feels like and stuff. So I really had great fun. And it was funny because on the first trip to the tennis venue, I was in a car with the two coaches and the organizer of the event. And I basically spent the time talking about tennis and the professional way of playing and stories and stuff. And they had no idea about it. So basically, I knew more about material and the way rackets are strung. Yeah, about stringing and about, what effect it has, what materials are used and what the development and framing was and all of those nitty-gritty details that amateur players don't really care about much. I knew all about that. And they had no idea. But they had an idea about how I could play tennis. So that was really great. And what happened was that we had a weekend of play. And on Saturday, the first day, almost each of us was of the B1s, which is the blind people, was assigned a volunteer, which was very helpful. The more low vision people didn't have a volunteer to themselves, but every now and then somebody took the time and helped them get on with their things. And the completos, as I like to call us, the B1s, so the very blind people, actually had a volunteer each for us, and we started by measuring the tennis court with our feet. And then we started a few ball exercises, so the ball was rolled at us and we rolled it back, and then the ball basically jumped at us and we had to catch it with our hands. So we got a feel for the ball, and I was very, very fortunate in that. I was assigned fantastic volunteers. And then we got the rackets into our hands, and I had another great volunteer who was a tennis coach. And he, of course, did all of the exercises with great precision, so I really had a great lot of success. And I could imagine what it was like to get a ball, or to hit a ball with a racket, because in other sports you hit it with direct body contact, you don't have a racket in your hands. And I couldn't imagine how it would ever be possible to hit a ball with a racket rather than the hand. Well, that was solved very fast, because naturally the coach started by throwing a ball practically onto my racket, so it would bounce once and I could hear it and I could hit it back. And that was fantastic. Of course, in the afternoon we went and practiced. I got a wheelchair player signed, who was also a very good coach, I have to say, and we got to play tennis across the net. And well, I completely clearly remember when I managed to hit a return across the net that afternoon. Of course, afterwards it didn't work all that well, and in the morning of Sunday we basically spent practicing and trying and stuff. And the volunteers had a lot to do collecting all of the balls, so they were extremely exhausted when the workshop ended, and I actually was extremely happy, and I got one of the few rackets that were on sale, and I bought it home. And it took another... let me say 2 months and a bit until I decided what I wanted to do. I wasn't sure how to set up a tennis training here in my hometown, because that's what I was determined to do. The British coaches had told us that you could play indoors, and that was the best. So I tried to find, at work I had a colleague who was very much into tennis when he was a teenager. So I asked him where they would play in winter, so he told me. And I called, and I did some web research, and I found that there was a tennis venue with a tennis school running it. And so I called that venue and told them, I want to play tennis, and it is blind tennis. I want to talk to the person in charge. And half an hour later, the person called me and said, so you want to play tennis? I watched it on the internet. It's possible, and we can do it. And I was like, wow, great. So he said, okay, let's meet on Saturday on clay. And I said, what, on clay? That's outdoors. And he said, yeah, tennis outdoors is the most beautiful thing he can think of. And I said, oh, great, so I get to see a clay court. And he said, yes. So that following Saturday at the end of June of 2016, that was my husband, another colleague from my work, and I went and were picked up at the tram stop, and they started trying to hit a few balls with us. So we basically did the whole thing again. My feelings about tennis, I have to tell you, first of all, I projected all of my feelings to that person that I wanted to know, which was Andre Agassi. So I was always enthusiastic when he played. Through that, I was basically, I was sitting in front of TV with classmates of mine, and we figured out the rules by simply listening to hours and hours of commentary and explanations and whatever. Because back then, you know, there were a lot of quizzes going on. People could win things and whatnot, and they were asking tennis-related questions about rules, about, you name it. From that, I learned a lot, and just from pure listening for hours and hours, and from following the way they count, and why, what is a break, what is a tie break, you know, when does a match point occur, what is the thing about changing services, I figured it out by listening, because I, of course, couldn't see it very well, or couldn't see it at all, so I had to listen and make sense of what they said. And I just loved it, you know how teenagers develop an enthusiasm and a passion for one or two single individual things which they become experts in. You know, when you're a teenager, you collect all of that exuberant amount of knowledge with loads of tiny details that nobody else knows. And I think I was a bit like that. I had people buy me the typical tennis magazine, and I brailled out all of the rankings. I had a huge collection of those in braille because, you know, back then I didn't have computers, so I had to braille them. Somebody read them on tape for me with all of the stats and points and whatever. So that's how I got involved. My enthusiasm, I had to find people to support it. And that's how we went. And I had a sister reading, I had my mother reading, I had supervisors reading or classmates reading print papers and articles and whatever. And I remember even when I was studying, I had a friend cutting out all the snippets from a particular paper, all the tennis related snippets from a particular paper. And I had 1 year of daily paper pieces about tennis. Sometimes it was a page. Sometimes it was a double page, and sometimes it was just a snippet. And this is how I dove deep into tennis. And I think had I been able to play normal tennis, then I would have managed to get very far, because I would have spent endless hours on a tennis court. Now that didn't happen, and I had to wait for a long time. And then the first thing actually that happened, the highlight that happened to me, was when I went to an ATP 1000 tournament. I have to say that I like men's tennis much more than women's tennis, so I went to an ATP tennis tournament in Hamburg, in the north of Germany, in 2000, I think five it was, if I'm not mistaken. And it was great, you know, it was a clay court event, and I told you I love clay court tennis, because on clay what happens is that you get a lot of long rallies, especially when Spaniards and South Americans are playing. They play chess on court. They can have long rallies on end, and that is a very physical thing. Whereas Americans like to hit aces on first serve, and that's it. Point done. So I love the rally matches. But nowadays, you can have them even on the hard court. That's fantastic. But on clay, you can hear the motion very well. And I've recently discovered that you can even hear when the ball bounces back on the clay, whether it's a slice or a flat hit serve. That's really fantastic. So you can hear a lot of things when you know what you have to listen out for. But back then, you know, the atmosphere, sitting outside for 2 days in a row, watching all the people playing tennis, being interviewed, you know, listening to them shouting and swearing and cussing and whatever. That was a unique experience, and I repeated that for, I think, three more times. So my passion for tennis, really, my passion for tennis never stopped. Or when I sit in front of the TV and I want my favorite player to win, and it happens, it's just pure joy. And when we have a five-setter with my favorites involved, sometimes it's so dramatic that I cannot watch. So I have to leave and, say, find something to distract me. Say, wash the dishes or walk my dog. You know, you name it. I'm not a person that can live with a lot of tension, so I have to find something to keep me busy, take my mind off the drama a bit. But yeah, you know, when they win, I'm really happy. When they've lost, I'm disappointed with them. I empathize a lot. That's tennis is a roller coaster of feelings. And I think I've lived through all of them in my 30-year biography of being a tennis fan. And then there also was a time when I really took notes of all of the scores. I sat in front of the TV and wrote the scores. Or I took my note taker to the tennis courts and wrote the scores. I had loads of those. Don't know when I stopped. I think I stopped when I realized that there was a lot of matches available somewhere on the web. Not all complete, but you can get some great ones, especially at the Grand Slams on DVD if you're good. So, or you'll find them on YouTube. That's really cool. I love it. Or you find highlights on YouTube from years ago and from great matches and from dramatic rallies or whatever. So I don't need to score anymore, but it was great fun and it helped me focus. And sometimes I would sit in front of the TV for 5 hours and take the scores. So I was as passionate as a teenager can get. Advice to beginners? No, not really. You know, if you want to try it, go ahead and try it. Tennis is nothing for... You don't have to be a super sporty, yeah, like ideal athlete or anything. You can start tennis age 60. You can start tennis age 5. It doesn't really matter. We have a lot of former footballers coming into tennis because tennis is not as physical as football, or not as rough as football, as five-a-side football. Or former athletes or whatever. Of course it's extremely beneficial when you've done a sport before, or when you've been sighted before and played tennis possibly before. It's very beneficial. You're going to profit from that a lot, but it's not a necessity. You can start picking up a racket just out of mere pure joy, interest, adventure, whatever your motivation. Go and try it, and if you like it, perfect, continue. If you don't like it, just you know, hand over the racket and leave the court. And that's good. What I like about tennis is that it's me, and I'm responsible, basically. If I play bad, I play bad. If my nerves play a trick on me, it's my nerves. You know, I cannot blame anybody. I can just shout at myself. Yeah, this year I came third in the national championships, and I was really annoyed because I couldn't get to terms with my nerves. So, you know, and so I know what I have to work on. And sometimes during training, I put myself under pressure now, thinking that it's a match point. And my coach always points out, okay, now we have a set point. Oh, you lost. Or there's the, you know, winner's trophy in the corner and you can see it. And here's your match point. And because I'm so empathetic, or yeah, if you wish, I can project that onto my own mental state. And definitely it makes a difference whether I'm told it's match point or not. I can put myself into that mental situation, to that mindset, and I have to work on it. It's great. My advice is try it. Go out and try it and see whether you like it, because I think especially for a blind person or a highly low vision person, it's extremely important to move, to be active in whatever way. You know, we have so many obstacles that can demotivate us from being active, from moving, from going out. And this is why I think it's important to find more and more opportunities for blind and visually impaired people to pick up an activity that they like. Not everybody likes running. Not everybody likes cycling. Not everybody likes football because it's fairly rough. Or goalball because it can hurt you. Tennis can't, for example. In tennis, you cannot run into things because the only thing that's there is the net. And you have tactile lines, by the way, so you can feel them with your feet. And that is something you practice in daily life. You don't need to exercise that one. You're used to tracking noises, so that is something that's given to you. You've just got to fine-tune it. Yeah, and the only challenge is that to coordinate your racket. and your body's motion, and that increases the awareness in yourself. So when I hit a forehand, it's not only my arm that moves, it's my wrist that I have to control. It's the grip that has to be in a certain way. It's my knees that have to work. It's my posture that I have to look at, because my head determines the direction I go. And since blind people tend to have their heads look down, it's very good for them to be aware of that. And whenever I hit a ball into the ground of the net, it's been my head looking at the floor. And I have to rotate my body from the hip, and at the same time I have to stretch my knees and get up so the ball can fly across the net. And there are so many things that I have to be aware of, and I have to be made aware of, so I can reflect on my own motions in half a second's time. And I think that's very important, and improves coordination, improves balance, improves fitness, improves self-awareness. You know, I can only tell you good things about the sport, basically.